Get ready for an all-new night of comedy on the Crunch Network. Fridays at 8, move over, Bleep My Dad Says. This dad is a whole lot nastier. It's the Crunch Network's hit show, Bleep My Dad Bleeps.
Dad, have you seen my gray cardigan?
Yeah, I bleeped it.
You bleeped my cardigan? That was my favorite sweater.
Yeah, well, now it's my favorite sweater.
Bleep My Dad Bleeps, Fridays at 8, followed by an all-new episode of Bleep My Cat Bleeps.
The Thanksgiving ham is ruined. Mercury, did you bleep this ham?
Bleep My Dad Bleeps at 8, Bleep My Cat Bleeps at 8:30, and an all-new Potty Party New Orleans at 9, only on the Crunch Network. Hey, folks, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is episode 287? Shit.
I think so.
No, wait, hold on. I know this one. This is episode 288. The plane that wouldn't...
Stop counting.
There. Well, okay. That's a great episode, probably in the making.
I've decided to stop thinking about my addition or my contribution to the title, and I'm just going to go with whatever's in my head at the time.
Yeah.
But usually it's about the show, so deal with it.
Oh, weird. Inside baseball. We're recording this in Austin, Texas at the Hodgecast Studio, aka the Hodge Pound. also, we are your podcast Lions. David Hotta, how are you doing, my man?
I am a fucking bolt of lightning right now.
Oh, I like it. Why is that? Because we were talking on the last show about how you get here early, you sit in the darkness in your own soul creeps over you.
Yeah.
And you become like a human black hole.
That is true. Not today, because I'm 3/4 of a beer in before you even walked in the door.
Oh, baller.
So I feel pretty great. And I've been talking with our guest beforehand. And he's a fucking delight.
Who is our fucking guest?
I don't know.
We have a very special studio guest, ladies and gentlemen. He lives in New York City.
Get a rope.
But he is, couldn't resist. But he's gracious to come by. This is your second time on the show, so you're an official friend of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Gondelman.
Yeah.
Thank you. I rounded out the clapping by clapping for myself, which also happens at my stand-up shows.
You know, no one.
Everyone seems so thrown by the idea of clapping for themselves on a podcast.
I mean, clapping for yourself, unless you're in an audience, is a weird thing, right? Give yourselves a round of applause, then they do.
Yeah.
But like when you're on stage, it's a weird thing to be like, I am terrific.
Although... That's not a bad bit.
No, I like it. Have you seen, this is, so, I don't mean to go so comedy heavy off the top. Have you seen Chelsea Peretti's new Netflix special?
I love it.
It's delightful.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And the intro is so like mock self-aggrandizing, yeah. And I love it so much.
And I think I saw a tweet from Kath Barbadoro, a mutual friend.
Friend of the show.
And she had mentioned, yeah, Chelsea Peretti's special was great and everything. I really want to see those fake specials at the beginning.
Oh my God. So funny.
Yeah.
And it's called One of the Greats, which is like the best fake arrogant title to call yourself that in this the title of your first hour special. It's just I love it. I love fake arrogance more than most things.
But then she also like, you know, she lived up to it. Like, you know, because I went in there with some level of skepticism. I was like, One of the Greats, I know you're funning. But it was a genuinely like, holy shit, she really proved a lot on that.
Oh yeah, record. She's legit. I came in with not, I don't want to say high hopes because that sounds like that they could have been frustrated. I just was like excited to watch it.
Oh, no.
In the same way that I'm excited to watch like a new Bill Burr special. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, this will be an hour of my time well spent.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Has Chelsea Peretti not, does she not have like an album or anything?
She did a half hour, I think, for Comedy Central, but I don't think she has an album out or anything like that. Yeah.
So, Josh, you are a stand-up comedian.
I am.
You were also a little bit of you had an internet spike.
I am. I like to say that I'm several Twitter accounts dressed up as a man.
That explains why you're so shaky at all times.
And I speak in very short utterances.
And you also hate women, so that's good, too.
That's not all
that's
of
our show.
So
one of those Twitter accounts, Modern Seinfeld, right? Or Seinfeld Today.
Both. Modern Seinfeld is like the The handle is at Seinfeld Today, okay. And then the description is Modern Seinfeld. That's what the name is listed as. Yeah. And that was just a Jeopardy question. I'm being self-aggrandizing. I'm very excited. No. Like a week ago, it was like Jerry overuses emojis and Elaine's new boyfriend won't stop taking BuzzFeed quizzes on this modern Twitter. It was like a Twitter category. Mm. And it was, and my sister called me and was like, guess what just happened on Jeopardy? And I was like, Alex Trebek got shot? Like, what are you?
A nation mourns.
Yeah. Shot the mustache right off his face. It was awful.
It's like, what? Guess what just happened on Jeopardy? Oh, that bastard Trebek finally did it, didn't he? How many dead?
My dad is such a Trebek hater. Uh-huh. It's great. Like, he thinks he's smug. He's like, he thinks he's so smart. He's good. The answer.
Does your dad watch Jeopardy though?
Yeah.
Okay, but he hates Trebek.
Yeah. Yeah. He's there for the knowledge.
What a weird relationship.
Yeah.
He's there for the knowledge.
Yeah. He's not in it. He's not in it because it's a well-hosted show.
I love the cereal, but I hate Count Chocula.
He just, that smug dick just talking with his, first of all, speak English.
Yeah.
You're an American now, Count. You're not royalty here. Drive a cab.
Just like, also, isn't Trebek Canadian?
He is. Yeah.
There's another guy. Get him out, right?
Goddamn. Get him out. Get him out.
Build that wall.
Build that wall.
What was your reaction, though? Yeah. It doesn't. It's a wall.
Someone had tweeted at me, but uh-huh. So I hadn't seen it, but like I was aware that it was a thing. So when my sister called asking a question that if I hadn't had forewarning, I would have had literally no context to respond to her. Mm. Like, guess what just happened at Jeopardy? Ken Jennings came in and kicked everyone in the head.
Someone masturbated.
But when you first found out, though,
it was very exciting.
Wow, I bet.
It was very. I mean, like, it's one of those. It wasn't. It just felt so silly. And I texted the other guy that I write it with, Jack Moore, and I was like, dude, we were a Jeopardy question tonight. And he was like, that's crazy. And he had it DVR'd. He DVRs Jeopardy is what I learned from that text interaction.
Yeah.
And it was just delightful. Like, it was such a fun thing to only feel good about and not have any other attachment to. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can do a thing and it can be disappointing to you.
Yeah.
Or it could not turn out the way you wanted.
See, that's hilarious, because as you were saying that, I was thinking, man, if that was me, I would probably be the kind of asshole who was like, oh, I wish I had done something more to be like to be a Jeopardy question. Yeah.
See, I don't think I'll ever – a thing about me is that I don't think I'll ever be famous. Mm. But I am very delighted to work on things that people know and like.
Yeah.
And that's such a – it's such an exciting thing to have something as a part of. Because there was a little bit of like – well, it's not me,
right.
But it kind of is. And
I
wanted to like let go of the garbage part of me that's like, no, it's not like a big deal. And just be like, yeah, this is great. What a cool thing. And I didn't have to do anything. There was no expectation. It just happened. And then I could be happy about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Twitter feeds, sort of, I'm going to group this into novelty feeds.
Please, yeah.
That start out and you could tell like the reek of like, oh, please let this catch on.
Yeah.
Like anytime there's any kind of animal mentioned in the news.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that
Bronx Zoo Cobra was one for a while.
Exactly. Someone was like, oh man. Where Seinfeld Today, it really just feels like you guys like this show and you started this Twitter account and it's really funny. The one that keeps sticking with me is like George's Netflix account thinks he's gay.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I was like, God. And I remember reading that and being like, God, that would so fucking be a Seinfeld episode.
Thank you. My favorite one that I wrote that I want to actually incorporate into a script because it seems like such an obvious thing. I'm sure it's like an episode of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 or something that I've never seen.
Yeah.
But is Elaine sleeps with her upstairs neighbor who then slanders her in his Wi-Fi network name. Which is like so, that's so petty and so Seinfeldy. And I like can't wait to write that into a script for something.
Surprised you've gone this long without having written an entire series of these. So many of the modern Seinfeld tweets, like you'll read them and you go, oh yeah, I can absolutely, I feel like I've seen that one.
That's enormously flattering. Thank you.
I mean, it seems like Funny or Die. Like that would be a home run if they like.
We've resisted. We've had people say like, "Do you want to make this?" And we're like, "Well, that's hard." And like, it's really hard to make Seinfeld, but it's really easy to kind of like nod at Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. And we were offered in both ways, because I don't want to say like it was a laziness thing. I think the Twitter feed is kind of its own nice thing, and we haven't monetized it in any way. We haven't done like sponsored tweets. We were in talks because people do that. They get 700,000 Twitter followers, and then they're all of a sudden like, Jerry drinks Monster Energy drink for energy surge. But we didn't do that, and we also were in talks with like literary agents about doing an adjacent book. And I think it basically neither one of us wanted to just do a compilation of tweets as a book.
Yeah,
and that's what most people seemed most interested in. And we were like, well, we just give these away for free. We don't want people paying $14 for it at Urban Outfitters.
And then have like a white page in between.
Yeah, exactly. Just like one tweet on a page.
Yeah, exactly.
What a colossal environmental fuck you to the earth.
Yeah.
Our tweets deserve paper.
Oh, we brought in an artist to render them.
Yeah.
Somebody did do it. Who published a book of their tweets? Wasn't it like Steve Martin or something like that?
Maybe.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But at least that was, I think there was a narrative to some of them. And
that almost kind of makes sense because I think my dad would read that book, but he would not get on Twitter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And there are a couple people like, I probably older friends of mine and like friends of my parents would leaf through a book, but don't read the Twitter. But like, it also wouldn't be, you would have to sell like, okay, so there's a Twitter account and then, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Merry Christmas. There's like a Twitter's a thing. It's just like Seinfeld. I don't know. Just like, just read it, Dad. You'll get it. And it's like, where's the rest of the episode? Yeah. I have no son.
Is this book going to make me gay?
But I mean, there's also a lot to be said for the fact that like, you know, if it lives on Twitter, then it's yours, you know, then you have completely proprietary rights. Like, as opposed to shit my dad says, you know, bless their hearts. They tried to make that into a show and like, then people completely turned on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's very hard. And what we're doing is much easier. Not that it doesn't take, a modest amount of tenacity and skill, but it's much easier to write a Twitter account than it is to write a TV series.
Yeah.
And or even a web series based on beloved characters that was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's easier to get the dozens of decisions right that it takes to make a good modern Seinfeld tweet than it does to do the thousands of decisions it takes to make a TV show.
Right. We can pitch a good Seinfeld storyline or a mediocre one. But that's the thing. You don't get the good graces of doing a mediocre one if it's a web series. If you do 12 have to be perfect. And if it's a tweet and you do one that's not perfect, it's like a pitcher throwing a ball, right? Where it's like, oh, that was out of the strike zone, but you get to do that three more times before anything bad even happens.
Come back in 4 hours, we'll have another episode.
Yeah.
No, who's to say who would even see it?
Yeah. Right, who would even see it? Nobody sees it. So it's no resources, and it's just nice. And we're both doing other things that I think it's like a nice, it's a nice business card to have.
Yeah.
And it's not, but it's not, I think we both at this point not want to distance ourselves from it, but are happy to be doing other things.
Oh, yeah. You know, you don't want to be the modern Seinfeld guys forever.
Yeah. I mean, it is a nice thing. Like, it's a nice thing in my intro at a stand-up show where people will go, oh, that guy. And I feel like, and this is sour grapes because I've not done stand-up comedy on television, but it might sound like sour grapes, it might be sour grapes. But it's like, you've seen him on Comedy Central is like a, it's like a genre of guy, but like this guy does the modern Seinfeld Twitter account. That's two people and it's a thing they like rather than like, oh, you're associated with this organization that I respect.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, as seen on Comedy Central, a frequent credit that is given, that could be anything.
Certainly.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like that could also be any time.
Oh, yeah. I blew somebody on Secret Girlfriend, you know, as seen on Comedy Central.
I was one of the battle bots.
Yes. Yeah. I was in the robot suit. I got my body chopped off by a saw.
But still, being on Jeopardy.
But it's TV.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a particular, like, little niche. I mean, it's not like being on Jeopardy isn't the same as, like, being burned under the golden record that gets stuck on the Voyager and shot off in the aliens. But it still is like, I don't know. That's impressive.
It's very exciting. That's
really cool.
Thank you. A couple of friends of mine, I believe, were Who Wants to Be a Millionaire questions. And I remember being so impressed and jealous. And then when the Jeopardy thing happened, I was just so delighted. I feel like I'm really patting myself on the back here. But it was like a lovely, wonderful thing. Yeah. And I felt very happy about it. And again, it's a thing that like I don't have to do anything. I didn't have to do anything to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't striving. If it didn't happen, my life would have been the same. And that because it did happen, it's just like added, but it's finding $20 in a coat pocket.
Yeah.
It's like next time someone if next time you have to switch bodies with a kid.
Yep.
And you're like in first grade. Well, this doesn't really make sense. But let's keep going. And they're like, what's an interesting thing about you? And you're like, I like apples. You could be like, I got to add a Jeopardy question.
Yeah. I believe.
Don't think about it.
No, I'm just kind of craning my neck to make that analogy work. But all right.
It didn't.
I believe my friend Andrew Mayer, who is super funny, a Boston comedian, was a Jeopardy, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire question, because he made a Yelp account as Abraham Lincoln, only reviewed Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., and his review was, I believe it was murdered here, would not go again, two stars is the funniest part.
Good facilities, though.
The Great Emancipator.
Yep. So, and I think that was like, got like a million views on Reddit in a day, and then other people, people were trying to, I think someone signed up as John Wilkes Booth just to report him for spam and was like that this post is spam. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Andrew was like, that's not the real John Wilkes Booth. And the John Wilkes Booth guy got kicked off of Yelp. Like, this isn't my story. I'm getting details wrong, but it's like that. And I believe Kurt Brownoller's How Do I Land Skywriting prank was a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire question.
Oh, nice.
Where he paid, for people who listen but don't know, Kurt Brownoller, who is super, super, super funny and great, was paid a skywriter, I think did a Kickstarter,
he did.
Yeah. To pay a skywriter over downtown LA to skywrite How Do I Land?
That guy has turned into a human delight.
Oh, unbelievable.
His jet skiing down the Mississippi to buy goats for an African tribe, I believe.
Yep.
Again, he also, on Drunk History, when he was sweaty and he has the sweat towel with his own face on it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that and I got mad at him because I was like, damn it, that's too good.
It's so funny. Yeah. He's one of those guys that will just live a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he'll just do life things that are like, well, this will be fun in a way that I only know a few people that do it in a way that is as funny as he is and like not contrived, where he's just like, this is the thing I'm interested in.
Yeah. He's like the human embodiment of like an early Letterman bit. Where he's I'm gonna live in a Velcro suit for a year. Or mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. That's Kurt Brownoller.
Have we talked about our Brownoller story on the air?
I don't think we have.
So we, David and I, are in a sketch group, Stag Comedy, and we went and did the Toronto Sketch Comedy Festival. We had our first show. We had two shows. First show went. It was okay.
I mean,
it was pretty good. But like, I know I goofed up a couple times, and we met before the second show and made some adjustments. Second show, it looks like Kurt Brownoller is going to like host the show. And I was like, this guy's hosting our show? Like, oh my God. And so the first group goes up and they were doing really well. And I remember looking at them. I didn't think about it at the time, but I was like, oh, okay, sure. But like, you know, but they were killing. We go up and we bomb so fucking hard. Yeah. God.
Sketch bomb's a bad bomb.
Damn, yeah.
It
you
is.
You can't change gear. Like
that's sketching improv bomb too for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
But like a stand-up bomb is just like, well, I know what to do to get to the end of this, and then I will leave and hopefully. But like a sketch bomb, like you and your friends are making eye contact, just like we're in this together.
Still got 28 more lines to deliver.
They didn't buy the premise of this. Well, guess what? It doesn't take a turn.
Yeah.
This is we hit this joke and we do it 9 more times.
Yeah.
So oh boy. Yeah. But yeah, and then we got the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was like, I was like, oh man, Kurt Brown, I want to put on a good show for this guy. And then now I just know.
Yeah. Didn't happen. Averted eye contact on the way out. Yeah.
Now we can never speak.
That giant, that giant man. I'm glad we got a photo with him before we went.
Wait, oh, was it
before
that's so or after? Funny.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was before.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We made sure of it.
Yeah, that was good.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, whatever. Fuck.
Hey, we're terrible, but can you stick? I mean, you know what? Now that I think it might have been after. Anyway, it does.
We're terrible, but you're great.
Yeah.
Give us a pity photo.
Yeah. Yeah. But you approached it, I don't know, whatever. It was a pity photo, but I appreciate it. So Josh, to insert myself in the Josh Gondelman tale.
Please do. Somebody's got to turn this the right way. Not the podcast, my life, I mean. This is going great. This is the best part of it.
Oh. All
right.
Hey now.
That's like our Jeopardy question.
Oh, jeepers. Someone listens to the podcast, tweets and says, Josh Gondelman mentioned you guys.
On our fucking podcast.
That's so funny. Wait, I would like to take a moment to unpack all the reasons that that's funny. One is that the idea of someone referencing you on your own podcast being the biggest achievement. Second thing, that it's me. Third thing, that your listeners don't understand what's happening.
I was listening to some show. I forget who it was, but yeah.
The hosts were like a couple of schlubs, but Josh said you were great. It's like my mom.
Yeah.
If my mom were on Twitter, my mom is not on social media, but she will lurk on it to check up on me and my sister in like a very sweet way. Uh-huh. She's not like, it looks like a lot of pictures of you drinking alcohol. That's not even what she sounds like. But it's just like, hey, I saw you doing this show. How was it? Was it good? It's like just very sweet. But she can't do it she can't do it anymore because my sister used to live with my parents and they would use my sister's Facebook account.
Oh.
And now, and then my sister moved out like 3 years ago and I don't think they know what I've been doing since then. Now that they don't have my sister's Facebook.
We don't know how to get on Facebook.
My parents will check my shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say it in a way as if I came home with my wife, you know, was like waiting there with the lights off or something. Uh-huh. Oh, did you have a nice night? Like that kind of thing. Like my parents like, oh, how was that show? And I was like, oh, it was good. They're like, okay. It's like, that's
really funny.
Yeah,
you're not from here originally, right? You're from...
Well, I've lived here the longest, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
But I was born in San Antonio, but I didn't even live there a year as a wee baby.
Okay.
Because my dad was in the Air Force. We moved around a lot. Went to high school in SA, came here for college, and then never left.
Okay. And your parents are in San Antonio?
They are in San Antonio.
Got it.
A huge retired military population.
Yeah.
If you're unpacking the Mac Blake story.
Excellent.
But the first... Hold on.
Get it out! Yeah. God, sorry, I've been taking
just it. Let's just all do... I was just doing some Springsteens.
What are Springsteens?
Just like in between verses, be like...
All right, yeah.
You know, I looked up the last time you were on the show, which...
Oh, I know what this is going to be.
And we talked about Springsteening.
Yes.
Which, I just saw...
I remember what it was.
Here's the thing. So it says in the description, a comedian, Sean Patton, Josh Gondelman joined the show. We talk about a lot of things, including Springsteening.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't listen to it again, but what was Springsteening?
Do you remember?
I do remember. Because we had a bone of contention as to what it should have meant.
It was... The one I remember was two... So it was in reference to Springsteen and Steve Van Zandt singing at the same microphone back to back.
Okay.
And it was two people, I think it was two people performing oral sex on the same man at the same time,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is it both of them? What was the bone of contention? Boring.
Well, because it was
the bone of contention.
We couldn't decide if Springsteening should be the back to back sing along or if it should be a porn term. For two people going at it on
I think
on
it can be both.
I think
with years of reflection in between these two podcasts.
Exactly.
I think it
let's
may...
put this fussing and feuding aside,
yeah.
Gondelman.
Let's do it. Let's come bring her here.
I don't know why I'm using your last name, but that made it really funny.
It was very funny.
Get over here, Gondelman.
I have a very funny last name to yell.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like a cartoon Jew.
It's a great Ben Gazzara last name. Like, bring in Gondelman.
Yeah. Yes.
Like someone's mad at a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, screw this, Gondelman.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
I have a great, I'm a fun person to be mad at for those reasons.
I wish I could be a fun person.
Gondelman! Like that kind of thing.
Like a police chief. Well, Gondelman, are you happy?
Yeah. Okay.
You blew up a city block, Gondelman.
We had, when I was, I went on a road trip with childhood friends when we were in college. And we.
That grew up. You weren't just hanging out with
they were kids. I was in college. It was.
Across state lines.
It was a lot like Stand By Me, but like.
We were making the bodies.
Yeah. I went on a killing spree with a bunch of children.
Stacking bodies.
Put the bodies in the cart. No, that's.
Original lyrics to that song.
Custom made drowning pool theme song. We went with the first draft, but we went on this trip and we all were joking about if we were a police force, who would be whom. And I believe I was desk job, not the guy who shot someone and was relegated to the desk, but like the guy who started at the desk and never got off the desk.
Just someone who just, I like the hours.
Yeah. You know what? There was this show. How old are you, sir?
29.
Get the fuck
out of
here.
Are you serious?
I'm 30 in January.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I mean, it's a little premature for that, but I appreciate it.
It wasn't your age that did it. It was level of success.
I'll be perfectly honest. Absolutely. It was.
I've got a lot of Twitter accounts.
There was this show, and maybe you guys remember it. Maybe you don't. Josh Gondelman, the baby here. It was called Cops. It was a cartoon show, Cops. Do you know what I'm talking about, David?
Oh, sure, yeah.
It was an acronym. Like,
yeah.
It was not the police show where the rednecks get arrested, but the Central Organization of Police Specialists.
Okay.
And the cartoon basically was like every kind of stereotypical cop would come together in this unit of cops. It was like G.I. Joe, but cops.
Okay.
And so, like, they had this, your basic, like, Chicago cop, and his name was Long Arm, and he shot a handcuff out of a thing. And then there was, like, a SWAT cop.
Yeah.
Then there was the leader of the cops was a BP vest. Yeah. And he had, like, a metal, like, he was kind of a half RoboCop kind of guy.
Mm. Sure. But because when genre of cops.
Exactly.
But bullets didn't work in him, hence the name. And I think Desk Job would have been an awesome addition to Cops.
Like, look, paperwork's got to get done, too, for heroism to happen, okay?
Yeah.
So he'd be like, who's the real hero?
Long Arm, Battering Ram, kills only black guys. Come on. You're on this case. Desk Job. Not so fast.
You stay behind. Evidence Room.
Oh, yeah. I know where my place is.
Filing.
Just filing menacingly. That just like, when I file you.
I'm going to get you W-318.
I'm going to put you in alphabetical and numerical order.
Damn it, cops. We have a leak here. It's not you. Do you know who it is? Johnny on the take. Well, I'm really, really savaging that show, Cops.
I think you should start a Modern Cops Twitter.
I hate to be Nelvana or whoever produced the animation.
Yeah.
Back then. That's another animation company.
Fucking, no, you hit it with Nelvana.
Maybe, okay.
Just good. Walk off.
So Josh Gondelman,
yes.
When the first time I ever got work at a comedy club, or excuse me, no, that's not true. First time I got work at Cap City,
yeah,
I was hosting. Sean Patton was headlining, and you were featuring.
Yeah, what and a fun weekend!
That was super fun, and you you were so funny.
Oh, thank you,
and so nice to deal with. And I was definitely super nervous about being there. And I remember I had a series of gaffes. I think I lit you super early one night. I forgot Sean Patton's last name at one point while introing him. But, and so, like, this is weird because I'm not your dad, but, like, every time, I see you're doing something, I'm like, well, I'm happy for that.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I feel exactly the same. Like, when I saw Funniest Person, and then you did Montreal, right, last year? Montreal Just for Last Festival?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
We can talk about this off mic. I'm excited to hear about that, sir.
It went okay. it was New Faces Unwrapped, and New Faces
year.
Still Unwrapped.
I'm still unwrapped? Oh, no.
Old Faces Still Unwrapped. So the reason you were in Austin right now is because you were part of this thing for a Brooklyn Brewery is doing like a tour.
Yeah, they did. This is the last stop on a...
Tell me about that.
It was wonderful. They did a 12-city tour called the MASH Festival, and it's to highlight like... local culture as in addition to what they're bringing from Brooklyn, like they have a chef that travels with them and a woman who does a farm to table dinner in every city. And
does she use that table or that places?
Yeah. They find a farm near every city.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's really cool. It was like really wonderful. I'm very happy to have been included. So this is the first year they did a comedy night where in the past it had been, I think last year they had Kate Berlant open for the Found Footage Festival. Mm-hmm. So Kate is a comedian, and the Found Footage Festival is funny, but it's different than like a stand-up show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've had, we talked to Nick Prewer on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
back when it was a radio show.
They're great. So funny. And,
oh, yeah.
Like real deep, weird stuff.
There was one thing where there was like, there's this funny cable access show where this guy has all these animals. And I remember watching and being like, oh, that's an Animal Planet show now. And then like seeing its cable access roots was just the weirdest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I'll post a video of it underneath this link on our website because it's indescribable. But
that's madness.
But
go ahead. Oh, so great. So I've been all most of the eastern part of the country. There are 12 cities and they're great. The Brooklyn people are so nice. And I did... there are 12 and I've said that a million times. I had to back out of three for commitments with my day job. And then this is the ninth one I've done and almost all the shows have been amazing. And, I got to go to Sweden. They like brought me to Sweden.
What?
And yeah, it was really, really great.
Damn,
and
nice.
So I did a show in,
how'd that go?
It was great. I did a show in Stockholm. Everyone, my my parents and my sister, none of us had ever been to Europe before. So my parents and sister came to Stockholm for 3 days, and then we went to London for 3 days, and it was a really lovely trip.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, and the show, though, was almost entirely in Swedish. So the host comes up and he's just like, Swedish. And my parents, and I don't think I told my parents before, because I found out night of, they're like, oh yeah, everyone here does comedy in Swedish. Like, everybody speaks English, but they all do comedy in Swedish. So I didn't tell my parents, I think, just because I thought it would be funny for them to, like, I'd be like, wasn't that great? And they're like, Josh. So except for Greg Poehler was on the show, who is he has a TV show that was there called Welcome to Sweden, about an American person moving to Sweden, and then it was on NBC in the US. And
Isn't he a brother of Amy Poehler?
He's brother of Amy Poehler, yeah. And he's a really super funny, nice guy. So his setups were all in English, but his punchlines were all in Swedish. So much of his stand-up was about misinterpret, like having kids that speak fluent Swedish. And like, I said this, and then my kids said that, and then I said this, and then my kids were like, flork, dork, and then everyone went crazy. And I was like, I bet I could guess what you're saying.
He's like a human decoder ring.
It was so funny. It was like such a surreal experience to be on a comedy show. And then I got on stage and was like, I don't know what is happening. Like, anything. They could have just been like, there's about to be a Jew, get him. And I wouldn't know because I don't speak a word of Swedish. And it was great. It was so good. And just like a wonderful, super great opportunity. I'm so grateful to have gotten to be on this tour this year and travel and eat good food in a bunch of cities and see comedy friends. And I've worked with awesome people too on all the shows. Like, I'm set. Chris Cubis is on this show tonight, and I worked with friends in Boston and Philly, and like Sean Sullivan and Chip Chantry, and then the co-headlining all these with like Jesse Pop and Beth Stelling and Jeff Maurer. Who else? There might be Doug Smith, who's a super funny New York guy.
Oh yeah, Doug Smith.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he. I did Montreal with that guy.
Yeah,
in that group. That was the best part of that, by the way, because you're in this little group of people. And you, like, you know, doing shows and you're talking or whatever. So it was a nice, like, little friendship thing. That's my quick summary of that.
That's a great thing about any festival is, like, even if the shows aren't great, you're all on the same not great shows and you get to meet good people.
Yeah. I recently went up to, like, me and two other Austin guys went up to Denver just to check it out. And, but there that week was, like, the Putterbaugh sisters from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And another guy from L.A., Ron Babcock. And so, but we were there, all of us were there that week. And so we would all be like, well, now we're all at this bookstore show, you know? And, like, it had that kind of festival feel where
that's
you were
so
hanging
fun.
Out with people the whole time.
And the Denver scene is, like, crazy strong.
Denver scene is real good. And it was funny, the sort of Austin flack we'd get up there. Because it was weird, like, some people be like, no, Texas, huh? And then be like, no, all right. Like, a couple times, you'd get it right in your face, which is weird. Because I don't know, it's not like I claim ownership over the entire state. Like, Ted Cruz, I approve.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But at the same time,
he,
like,
works in Austin.
Yeah, yeah. Don't throw everything in my face, maybe. But anyway, but I mean, that was, like, in a minority. Most people there were awesome.
Sure.
And real high. But, yeah, but great. So the Brooklyn tour, but in Austin, you arrived today.
I arrived today.
And you're leaving tomorrow.
I have to leave tomorrow. I originally was hoping to spend more time because I love visiting Austin. I love the comedy scene here and I love, the tacos and the people. I have a lot of friends here.
We got them.
Yes. All those things. And I was going to come in yesterday, but I stayed because my girlfriend had contributed to this anthology and they were doing a reading and it was, there were a couple different readings, but this was the one she was a part of, so I wanted to stay and support that. And then this weekend, I'm opening for Kurt Brennoler at Caroline's in New York. So,
yeah, I think that outweighs tacos.
Well, yeah, that's what it was. I almost was, even tomorrow, I was planning to go to the airport today and extend, like, even just make my ticket for tomorrow afternoon and just have the morning because I'm flying so early. But I was like, everything gets delayed. It's going to get cold. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where, like, all of a sudden it's a 2-hour delay because it was super windy in St. Louis, and that screwed everything up. So I wanted to make sure I got home for the shows. I get super antsy about being late for stuff when it's beyond my control.
Yeah.
Oh, did you just see this tweet from Kurt Brownoler? Can't make Caroline show being replaced by a stack of tacos. Oh, what?
Everything's coming up Gondelman.
Can't wait to see that giant those tacos sentient have a, stack of tacos.
Those tacos have a great closer of being eaten by me.
Oh. Hey, here comes the feed. What are you doing back on stage? No!
Yeah. I'm a monster.
Yeah.
If you drink another beer in public, it's not a Brooklyn Lager. Do you get bounced from the festival?
I don't, but I am very. I've become very brand loyal to Brooklyn.
Oh, I bet.
I mean,
it's a good beer too.
Oh, it is. The Brooklyn Lager is like a good go-to beer. It's like one of those that you're not status-wise. It's like good too. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's a little cool, but you're not like. Give me whatever IPA tastes the bitterest, like that kind of guy. But you're also not like, Budweiser? How do you say that?
What a fun little poor boy's drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, this is just us talking. We certainly aren't sponsored by Brooklyn Lager. Hold on a second, guys. Oh, that's so good. Oh, my God.
What you got there, Mac?
Delicious Brooklyn Lager, David.
Oh, man, that's smooth going down.
God, you know what else is smooth going down?
What's that?
No, all the flavors of Brooklyn Lager.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah, I would name them, but everyone's so familiar with them. Why bother?
Yeah, it's like name and family members.
I mean, in the...
Mom. Yeah. Dad.
What did I just say?
Grandma.
And when I get hammered off this thing, it goes away instantly.
That's right.
It also makes me smarter.
Yeah. In fact, I'll take that one from you, Mac.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you with one sip.
Shut up, idiot.
That's because the Brooklyn Lager's got that vortex bottle. What if a small, that was stupid, by the way. What if a small brewery like did one of those dumb innovations?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
you know, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That would be like a great sketch of like Dogfish Head being like, Dogfish Head, the mountains turn blue when it's cold. And it's like, well, you make a good beer. You don't have to.
The new shotgun can.
Yeah.
Poke it with your key and get that smooth taste of Dogfish Head.
Austin Beer Works here in Austin, which is not, they don't ship outside of like a certain radius.
Right.
Because they're like, well, then the beer won't be cold. Okay.
they're still living in Smokey and the Bandit times.
Well, I mean, maybe it's they're like, we don't do bottles because cans stay cold. Anyway, whatever.
Sure. Bottles taste better than cans.
Yeah,
though.
Well, that's what
they're really invested in coldness.
Yeah, exactly. If people find out this beer sucks warm, get out of here.
It's my beer blog all of a sudden. But they have they sell a 99 pack of beer that is just this giant like railroad rail.
Yeah, it's a battering ram of beer
that you can buy.
That sounds so inefficient.
But also...
But people are buying it for like the novelty reasons.
Yeah.
Like somebody like a picture on Facebook, you know, it's a Tuesday and they're like, check it.
Yeah.
Or like each store will get one and it sells that instantly because people want it. But I mean, Austin Beer Works is a good company, but why doesn't somebody like Mike's Hard Lemonade just be like, fuck it, here's a super soaker of Mike's Hard Lemonade. That's what we're selling it in because we're... A shitty malt beverage or whatever.
Yeah, just like, 99 beers comes in its own hotel tub full of ice.
Hotel tub?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
What if they sell a champagne bottle that's in the shape of a champagne bottle and a...
A champagne bottle in a bucket.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like my grandma with ideas. Why don't you run a service that films funerals? Nobody does it.
Good work. I'm loving this episode of Dr. Fad.
I have an idea for you. What do you do every day? I don't know. You drive a car. What if driving car made money? A limo service.
Like, that's already... I don't want to do that job. That's someone else's job.
That was a legit suggestion from my grandma of a business that she wanted to start for me. Because you better get a career fast
that's
with my
so
grandma.
That's so funny. My grandmother is... she's been sick, and I went to visit her last week. I was in Boston last weekend. And she said, well, now that you're... she was like, well, what have you been doing? I said, well, my job is done for the year and I have to finish a book. I have a book due in December. She was like, yeah, you've been working on that. I was like,
wow.
I go, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to finish. I have this time off, so I'm going to sit down and write it. She goes, yeah, I've been hearing that a lot.
Oh.
I was like, Nana.
Alpha dogging you from the hospice bed.
Really? Whoa, hospice is a little much.
All right. We don't have to walk
through
this. I'm sorry, my fucking book isn't coming along fast enough. Golly. Your grandma's probably a very nice lady.
She's the best.
What's
I love her.
Book deal? What's this
My friend Joe Berkowitz and I sold a book called You Blew It. And it's a guide to how to ruin your life. So like if you want your life to be worse, read our book. and we will tell you how to make your job worse. We'll tell you how to make your relationship worse. We'll tell you how to make ruin a night out at a restaurant or a Thanksgiving dinner. We can teach you how to make anything in your life objectively less good.
Wow, cool.
Yeah,
man, look at you.
Thank you.
So
touching them all.
So I mean, you will be done in December, though, right?
Yes, yeah. I will be done in December.
Nana, well, that means, thank you, Nana. That's something we've heard before.
We're most. You just heard it from me. You've only heard it from me just now.
Well, the fact remains, we have heard this before.
I've got a tweet coming at us. Been hearing a lot about Josh Gondelman's book, A Mascot Wedding. Where is it? Oh, look at that.
Is that my grandmother? My grandmother's tweeting now?
Hold on, I just got a tweet. Oh, someone said we were mentioned on Twitter.
Is that your best accomplishment? Someone tweeting about you?
That's right.
Someone tweeting about something I said on your show. Yeah, so that's very exciting. We've been working on it. It kind of took a lot of forms. We originally pitched a book called, let me get it right. It's a really long title. It was called Getting It Wet. It was a fake pickup artist guide called Getting It Wet, The Nice Guy's Guide to Tricking Women from Friend Zone to Bone Zone. And we sent it out. Like we wrote this long, long proposal, and then our agent sent it out, and every publisher was like, very funny, but absolutely not. So,
do you have enough for a companion piece of just all the bound rejection letters you got?
Oh, I don't get to see them. I have friends who have like pitched books, and their agents would send them the rejection letters. And I was like, you can just give me a roundup. I don't need each one. Just an arrow into my heart.
Now, with that said, is that project dead?
I think it is, probably.
That's
mean,
a shame.
We almost self-pubbed it just because we thought it was so funny and dumb. An idea of like, we have so much material from that. Like, and I think it's such a funny idea. And I think, I sincerely think that people would have liked it and bought it. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But we... this idea just kind of came. A publisher that really liked us. We're working with a really good editor at that we like a lot at Plume, which is a Penguin imprint, and he really liked us. So we worked on an idea that was like something they thought wouldn't offend and alienate people.
So is this Getting Wet book just sitting there gathering electronic dust,
staying dry?
No. Well, you got to get it wet.
Well, so I mean, but like, why not? Why not? He published it.
We wrote like 10,000 words or something. So it was like not book length.
Sure.
But it was enough that.
Josh, I need to talk to David for a second.
Yeah.
What, 10,000 words?
It's like 8 pages, I think, something like that.
Okay, hold on, let me check it. So that's like 8 pages, Josh?
It's probably like 40 pages.
Okay.
Josh, I need one more break real quick.
Go for it.
8, David.
Well, 8 times 4. 8 times 5.
Oh, no.
What was that? 8 times 4?
Look at your math. God, you look so stupid right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm embarrassed.
Punch me in the face.
Well, I was waiting. I was drinking
a refreshing up,
Brooklyn Lager.
Oh.
Just enjoying a Brooklyn Lager.
You know what's weird? I could tell when you opened it because the room just smelled better.
Yeah.
Also, you could tell it, but my abs got more defined.
I could tell.
I heard them tightening.
Yeah, there's kind of like a...
The new tightening cane.
Whoa, that was a pretty good tightening sound.
Thank you.
Josh Gondelman.
They call me the man of one noise.
Comedian, author, Twitter writer, Foley artist.
Foley artist.
Or maybe just rope that into your act like
Michael Winslow.
There it is.
There's the guy.
Yep.
I guess I do a lot of voices on stage, which I forget until someone's like, you do a lot of voices. And I was like, well, how would you tell that joke?
Yeah.
And they're like, I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't do any of those jokes. Ooh.
I wouldn't. Fuck you.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Man.
One of my favorite things to do on any podcast, or a thing that I give myself a lot of credit for, is resisting making the, to me, obvious, turn me up in the headphones a little bit, which I used to do like every podcast I would do. And I think, so I haven't done that many podcasts. People do not invite me back. You guys are very generous.
Yeah. The notice about you like gets to the town before you do.
He's going to do that thing.
He's going to do the hip hop bit.
He might do like a Jay-Z voice, like, it's your boy.
Ooh, hold on. Good Jay-Z voice.
Damian Lemon, when he come, he was in Austin and he was coming to the stage and they, you know, I don't know if he requested or if it just didn't happen, but they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Damian Lemon, and we came to the stage and they didn't play any music. And so when he first got on stage, he would look in the booth and goes, yo, DJ, cut that.
Oh, that's so funny.
To nothing. And I now want to do that everywhere I go.
That's so funny.
But then I was like, well, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
It was like a joke.
Yeah, that's a great
treat. I don't mean everywhere, like on stage. I mean like when I walk into a room. I'll just be like, let's cut that, DJ.
Cut the music?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm gesturing a sort of cut motion in my neck folks who aren't watching
this. Classic DJ cut that motion.
Yeah.
we all know it, man.
Too true.
That's such a funny. I've never seen David do that before. He's great. Super funny.
Oh, maybe it was just Austin dropping the.
That means it's, there's an ID on the table. Maybe you can pick it up. Mail it to yourself.
Let's do it. I'll do it. I'm the opportunist. That,
wait, are you copywriting Damien's bit? Is that what you mean?
Well, we don't know if it's a bit or not. Yeah.
Or just a thing he did.
Exactly. Maybe he just.
You encroaching my copyright, Gondelman?
Ben Gazzara, please. I implore you.
I brought the J.C. Penney to the town. What else did he.
I draw a lot of water in this town.
Sears is coming here because of me.
You don't draw shit. Well, that was Ben Gazzara, wasn't it?
In Roadhouse?
But also Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Draw a lot of water in this town, Lebowski. Yeah. You don't draw shit. Oh, no, that's the cop that says it, though. Mr. Treehorn. Yeah. Anyway.
You know, that was a nice little niche for himself. A second career niche that I feel like he didn't probably exploit.
Yeah.
Rich, rich monster.
Yeah.
In Roadhouse, that town is lawless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was like, oh, I can just take this thing over.
Well, someone explained, like, the movie is basically a modern Western.
Right.
And it's like, well, that makes sense. Because before that, it's like, but the fact that they even had the cops show up at all in the end.
Yeah, you can't, there couldn't, like, what were you doing when he was taking a monster truck through a car dealership? Yeah.
We did a show on occasion called Master Pancake Theater. It's like Mystery Science Theater. Mm-hmm. And we made fun of Roadhouse, and I think the joke was that they were at a police summer camp or something. Like that?
Yeah. Yeah. They came back with like Disneyland hats or something. Like, I survived the cop con.
It's like, this guy is a, they should call the National Guard.
Yeah.
This guy is a menace. He's the worst.
He is destroying the town.
Also, that took place in Kansas City, right? That's where they
outside
went.
Of Jasper, Missouri.
Jasper, Missouri.
Yeah.
That's how fucked up the police are in Missouri, is that they send the National Guard to peaceful protests in Ferguson, but not when Ben Gazzara runs rampant through
the
city.
He sure was a lot whiter than everybody expected him
to be. That's super racist.
We should have seen this coming. If we saw Roadhouse 25 years ago, it's like, hey, let's keep an eye on that Missouri forever. But
yeah.
After they hired Keith David, those cops were there 2 days later. Keith David in the movie Roadhouse.
That's right.
Do you, speaking of... calling the National Guard on movies. Are you a fan of The Best Show at all?
I am, yes.
Do you know what I'm going to ask you about or whatever?
No.
There was a time when Tom Sharpling was talking about like the Hulk Film Critic Twitter account.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's making fun of it. And then later he finds out who wrote it. And he was like a friend of his or something. And so he was making fun of Seinfeld Today.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he's like, is this going to be one of those things where... I make fun of this, but it turns out the person who writes it is really cool. And I was listening to that, and I was like, ee-hee-hee.
That's really funny. We met once, and he was very nice. Oh. Yeah, super nice.
What were the circumstances there?
I think I auditioned for a commercial he was directing, and I think I could tell the story. I don't think this is like behind closed doors information. No, it was very nice. He was super great. I was very intimidated because of his character on Best Show.
Yeah.
Is very intimidating. And so I went in. And it was the producers, the production company that he works with, the two other folks are great, wonderful. And I showed up, and I knew. We'd met several times. And we showed up, and there was another guy. I was early, and he was on time. And they looked, and they were like, Josh, great to see you. And we hugged, and had, you know, because it was like people that were very nice. And then the other guy, they were just kind of like, oh, hey. I thought it was so, I felt so bad. I thought it was so funny. But I mean, like, I didn't get it. Like, if I got it, I would feel like, oh, well, that was, you know, a little,
that was kind of gross.
Nepotism. Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't get it. But it was so funny how I just showed up. I was so excited to see them. We just had like a great, like, hey guys, great to see you. How you been? And like, oh, we're producing this commercial. I was like, cool, I'm auditioning for this commercial. Like, the other guy was like, do you want me to do my headshot? It was very,
As a bus drives by and splashes a puddle on
yeah,
him, he's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'll just leave.
He's trying out something. They laugh and they go, sorry, Josh just texted me something.
No, it's just like the entrance. And I was that, but that's how I feel at every other audition I go to. I feel like everyone else knows each other and I'm like some asshole. Yeah, I'm very bad at acting.
Oh,
see, I walk out of those things. I'm like, crush that.
Ka.
Get out of here, Alpo. You got a new dog in town. That's right. I came this close to driving the little chuck wagon.
Alpo's not a dog company. It's a dog food company. You shouldn't say out of the way, Alpo. It's a...
Josh, you're from Boston.
I am from Boston. I also, let me circle back real quick and just say they are a they're all super professional and legit, and it was just nice to see them, and I thought it was funny. There was no like.
I thought that was cute that you thought you had to walk that back, but okay.
I'm so worried about blowing up people's spots on like a podcast just talking casually as if. Because that's a story we could tell off mic and you guys would get that it wasn't like a big deal.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just feel so skittish about being like, oh, you know, it's like their production company is less than ethical. But
of course,
it's not. It's, you know, again, I didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I edit this podcast, by the way. It's not just an unedited conversation. I typically don't edit for content.
Sure.
I just take out the pauses where I ask a question 9 times. Like, I'll be like, hey, hold on a second. Like, I'll edit out that stuff.
Right.
Or very sort of, like, if there's an that is just by itself out there, I'll take that out. But I was editing episode, I think it'll be like 3 episodes ago, with Josh Androsky, when I was talking out of school about a certain
local personality.
And then I was like, because at the time I was like, yeah, fuck that person. But then I was like, wait, this person could still help me with something. Even with, I was like, chopping that right out.
Yeah.
Don't want to risk that. Because like, there's a 2% chance that I may need to, but in the future, but it's like, no, you know what? I'll hold on to that 2% chance.
The Tom Sharpling thing is super funny, though, to go back, because I'd heard that he was like goofing on it. And I think I didn't have the heart to go back and hear what he said. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, well, I knew he was making fun. But that's kind of like flattering. Like Larry David said something very funny about it too. Like someone read him and he was doing a talk and someone was like, what do you think about this? And they just read him the most recent tweet. And he was like, I don't know, that wouldn't have been on the show. And I was like, just to be dismissed out of hand by Larry David is such a joy in my life that something I did or that I am associated with got to the point that Larry David was confronted with it in public and had to dismiss it without really learning what it was. I was very excited.
He had to
about
answer
it.
To the charges of what you have made.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting to just sort of like sit there at a computer and type something. And next thing you know, like the creator of this, you know, monolith, like it reaches that person is pretty great.
Yeah, it was really, it's so silly the amount of people that it has kind of reached. It's very silly but like very fun and nice.
That's
like
awesome. People turn to you like on break at work and they're like, oh, this is funny, this is a nice respite. That's
get
awesome.
Back to work, Josh.
Yeah, Josh, stop tweeting these things. You have a job. We can say, I've been like skirting around it, but we can say what I can say what my job is, which is I work at Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO.
So if you're wondering, people listen to the podcast, what we just bleeped out, it was the name of John.
Just drinking a cool Brooklyn. Just enjoying the bleeps.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I wrapped up and have to finish this book. And that's where I shouldn't be tweeting independently from. But I do there. I am the web producer there, so I do the social media and digital content. So I'm, when I say several Twitter accounts, that is the Last Week Tonight one is one of them.
Well, that is very exciting.
Thank you.
And Last Week Tonight is on hiatus right now. When
on
is
hiatus
coming
right
back?
Now. It comes back February 8th is our first show of 2015.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
When that show started, people were like, oh man, John Oliver should have held out for that Colbert desk or something. But then it turns out that show is crushing it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So that is awesome.
I appreciate it. John's wonderful. And I think, I think we're in a lovely, fun position to get to do lots of fun, silly things that are, slightly different than what maybe the show would have been on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to go off, you know, for speaking for John Oliver, it's nice to go off onto a network where, I think there were a lot of skeptics wondering, oh, is this going to work on HBO? And it fucking worked. That's great.
Well, is there pressure for that HBO style nudity? Like this is
we had nudity. I can totally talk about because this is a thing. Like I don't want to speak for the show, but I will point you to the third episode. There was we showed like 20 seconds of just an old man's penis. It was like dead on, like his crotch, penis, balls.
What else is down there, Josh?
But there wasn't like much other than that. It was like from it wasn't as high up as his waist and it wasn't as down low as his knees. So it was just like widescreen.
Oh yeah, no, you were television shorts. You were just short shorts level, right?
Yes,
there.
Right. It was like Daisy Dukes, sans Daisy Dukes. Just old man dick and balls. And it was, I believe this might not be true, but I believe it was the longest continuous shot of a man's penis on HBO.
It was certainly the longest I've looked at a man's penis on HBO. Yeah. So hang your hat on that, not
Thank
literally.
The longest continuous shot of a man's penis was on this HBO show.
Call it right there.
We did it again. Well, Josh Gondelman, our time is coming to a close. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
If people want to find out more about you on the interwebs, how do they do that?
You go to joshgondelman.com or follow me on Twitter at Josh Gondelman, and that's G-O-N-D-E-L-M-A-N.
Josh, thanks again.
Yeah, of course, my pleasure.
Thank you.
David Hutta, how should we leave the show today?
Maybe we should be on a sitcom that gets canceled midway through the episode.
Okay.
Hey there, Mac.
Oh, no, David. I think I cooked this turkey too long.
Oh, no. What are we going to do for Thanksgiving? What? Hold on.
What's up? What's going on?
Really? Nobody watched it. Nobody.
We haven't even aired. This is the first step.
No, stop laughing. That's not funny. Okay, I guess we should just go.
I've always hated you.
Well, watch out for that light.
Oh, damn, I'm dead.